Welcome back to the Sneaker Annex podcast with me, Danny, aka at Roystinho, and my co-host Dan, aka Dan underscore Squire. Good evening, my friend.
Good evening.
How's things?
Things are good. How are you?
Yeah, things are good. Just a quick one for everyone who has tuned in so far, really. We have hit, I've just checked, 1,800 streams. So far, 1,000 listens. So thank you very much for everyone who's listened in. And a big shout out to obviously the last podcast where we had Gary on. It was fantastic. And hopefully we've sorted out the audio. So we are using Zoom now. Me and Dan can actually look at each other. You don't need to see our ugly faces, so you ain't going to see the video. But me and Dan are going to use Zoom. So hopefully the audio is good from here on in.
But there might be a video, right, if all goes to plan with a future guest.
Yeah, so today it is just me and Dan talking trainers, mainly because we did do the bonus episode with Gary, and we have got yet another epic guest on for next week, the one dropping just before Christmas. So we're going to save it, and you can just listen to us two Northerners talk trainers and all sorts of bits that we've got lined up today. So... And one other thing, I am going to cough a lot through this podcast. I do not have COVID. I went for a COVID test on Friday. And yes, I did throw up in my car, but we roll with it. We've just got to go on, but it is what it is.
But he's got the all clear. He's pushing through for the pod.
I'm pushing through for the pod. And if you hear a can open, that is just a can of beer to obviously soothe my throat as we're talking for the next... God knows. I'm going to say 30, 40 minutes, but it might even be a little bit longer than that. Who knows? So, Dan, have we got any news this week?
We've got a little bit. We seem to talk about it every week since we've started this podcast anyway, which shows what a big year Reebok has had with this shoe. But there is another Reebok Club C collab on the way, and this time with Bathing Ape.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it seems to be a new one every single week.
And I've got
Danny's suffering here.
I am struggling. I've got to be honest, and for everyone listening, Dan has done an amazing thing this week because I have been working my little socks off, and all the news and everything that you hear on today has come from Dan. So unfortunately, I've not seen the Bathing Ape times Reebok Club C collab. So, well, what's it kind of looking like?
It's just a Reebok Club C with the Bathing Ape star on the side. I mean, I don't think it's the best one they've done. I think they've done some amazing ones this year with like we talked about the size collabs with the Kit Kat clock. We talked about the Pata one, which is brilliant. Yeah, they've done one with Phil Lehane for the anniversary of the French movie. Yeah. And I don't think this one is on that level. I think this one's more just for the hype with Bape, to be honest.
If you put Bape on anything, you're going to attract... a certain crowd, for want of a better phrase, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And then another shoe that they've announced this week, another Nike SB with Medicom. There's the Blazer Low coming.
Oh, no, I think I have seen this. Is this a creamy kind of hairy?
Creamy fur Blazer Low, yep.
I don't really rock with Blazers. And it's not that I don't like Blazer Lows, but or Blazers in general. It's just a case of I like Dunks. And if you start collecting everything, then it starts becoming very expensive. But I really like this pair. I think they're a really, really good pair, to be honest.
What are your thoughts? I thought you'd be into this pair, to be honest. I think the Blazer Low for me is a really great shoe. Sometimes it's a little bit slim for my foot, but a black-white... classic Blazer Low is always in my collection.
Yeah, yeah. And they did some orange label Blazers, didn't they? And some of the quality on those. Did they do a low in the orange label? I can't remember, but I know some of the mids or highs were like the really, really good. Really good quality. But yeah, really I've not picked up a Blazer for... I can't remember the last time I picked up a Blazer, to be honest.
I think mine was the Stussy collab from... might be the start of 2019.
Yeah, and I'm kicking myself because I had opportunity to get that and I never did. And then I thought, I will see. And yeah, I wish I could pick some. I'm sure you could probably pick them up for not much more than retail at the minute. But
Just too much to go out, isn't it? So
talking about Stussy, actually, did you get any of the Stussy Nike stuff that's just dropped?
I was going to throw back to that. I didn't. I got a T-shirt, though, for a friend who was wanting it for his missus for Christmas. Oh, so right. One of my mates wanted it for his girlfriend for Christmas, and I got lucky on sneakers for his size. I went for a black T-shirt for myself, missed out, but right. His girlfriend should be happy with a Christmas present.
Well, hopefully his girlfriend's not listening to this and trying to work out that he's got a Stussy via Dan on sneakers.
What about you? Did you drop anything?
I've just completely missed it. I'm not even joking. Work has been so busy, I haven't even had a chance to pick up my phone this week. So I just completely missed the drop. It is what it is. But so no, nothing for me. Not even a beanie. I'd have had a beanie, but no, they just went, didn't they, as well. So.
But you did get something through on your phone this week, a question for us to talk about.
So we opened it up on Instagram and we dropped something on our story. Just saying kind of, it's just going to be me and Dan if you've got a question. And we had, not going to lie, we had a few questions and they were all kind of good questions, but we had one, and I'm going to shout it out, Liam from Manchester, not Liam Gallagher, but Liam from Manchester. And he kind of posed this question. He said, what would you change about the sneaker industry / culture? So, you know, sneaker is massive at the minute. Certainly going back 10 years, it's just a completely different landscape, isn't it? And yeah, so what would you change about the current industry, culture, climate? That was his question. And I'm not going to lie, I've been thinking on it for a day or so, trying to think of a really good answer. What's your initial thoughts?
It was a brilliant question. So shout out to Liam for that, you know, actually making us think. And in a way, there's 101 things I'd change. And in a way, I wouldn't want anything to change because I'd feel like I was doing it for my own benefit. So obviously, when you look at it from a selfish point of view, you could change tons of things that would be in your favour to win raffles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just not realistic. Yeah. But obviously, I've spent the last 5-6 years in retail, a lot of it in footwear retail, selling trainers and things that people would queue for. And so I saw a lot of it firsthand, with people missing out weekly, if not multiple times a week. And there's the one thing I would change in the industry is, I think with OG shoes, like one we'll get onto later in this podcast, when things come out that are what I'd call a staple, an OG Air Max 90, an OG Air Max 1, an OG Jordan 1, things like that, I don't think they should be made so people miss out.
No.
I think any time a shoe like that comes out, it should be made to its maximum capacity.
Yeah, readily available. So like the Infrared 90s that came out a couple of weeks ago, I think now. Yeah. I've still not actually brought mine out. I've literally just picked them up and not really done much with them. But I feel they were quite easy to get. Most people could get them if you put in a bit of effort. But would you like to see stuff like that even more readily available?
I'd like to see stuff like that on a shelf so that people... I think they were easy enough to get if you're into trainers and you knew they were coming. But not. I'd like to be able to walk into a JD Sports and see that shoe.
Yeah.
Even if it's for 2-3 weeks after release, and I know obviously we dictate that as a market because you know what it's currently like. If there's £10 reselling that shoe, somebody's going to buy them all, and then they wouldn't be on that shelf anyway. So I know it's lose-lose, but that's one thing I would like to change. I would like OG shoes, things that we used to see when we were younger on shelves and be able to pick up weeks after release. I'd love to see that stuff just be sat in shops again.
Yeah. And that is a great shout. Like you said, some of the stuff that we're going to talk about later that's coming out, you want it to be accessible. And I mean, we spoke about it before, like back in the day where you couldn't get something, so you'd save up and wait till payday and all. There's just none of that now. It is. You've got one shot to get any shoe, and if you don't take the shot, then that's it. You're out. You ain't going to get it. So yeah, I think on a similar vein, actually, like, yeah, we want to get all the shoes we want. And if you just said, oh, if you had a wish list, what would you wish? But in the wider sense, what would it be that people could do? I don't, it's so difficult, isn't it? You think back to the old day or the old days and say, wouldn't it be great to just not have all the bots and some robust system or some fair system? I guess something like that. I don't know. It's difficult. My brain is flitting around. I'm not just joking, guys. My brain is flitting around thinking about what would I love to change. I think something like
there's 101 things I would like to say, but it's what's realistic. What could you actually do, and how to benefit everybody without ruining the product?
Yeah,
and it's a fine line. Saying, that's the no, you know, the balance is very fine.
Yeah, there's no point saying make 100,000 pairs of Chunky Dunkies, because and so then everybody can have them, because there's still got to be that element of, or for me, there's got to be that element of it being a little bit special. There's got to be that element of not knowing if you're going to get, that's the exciting part for me. Oh, am I going to be able to get it, or I'm not going to be able to get it? Or, and if you just know that you're just going to get absolutely everything, it takes a little bit of the fun out of it. Yes, we want, we want all the product, but it's not always about that. I kind of like sometimes, let's just say I like taking an L. That's not quite what I mean. But an example was them Hannon 420 Adidas ZX that came, and I didn't get the special box. And I kind of think, you know what? I've been fortunate this year. I've managed to like get quite a few special boxes on raffles. You know, I've been really lucky. And I think it's good sometimes to not.
I think people that are into shoes as well, like, as much as we all hate not getting something that we really want, we do enjoy the chase. I just think with certain key products, that's maybe like an OG colorway or, you know, like an absolute classic silhouette and colorway, I'd like to see them more readily available. It is a fine line though. And obviously I've seen it from the retail side, where when you do make, you know, you do get too many of something, it ends up sitting and it kind of spoils the product to the consumer a little bit, because they want it to be, they want the buzz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I just look back at, you know, when we were younger with rose tinted glasses a bit, and being able to walk into a store and get something, you know, like an OG 95.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to buy it on release day, etc.
Just being able to try it on sometimes. And, you know, how many times have we bought things? And it still happens now. You'll order things, or you'll enter raffles online. You think, oh, I am definitely that size. And it comes through and it's the wrong size, or it fits slightly different to even some similar silhouettes. And you're like, well, what am I going to do now? I'm going to have to like try and have to find somebody to swap sizes or resell it to get another size back. And it's just a palaver.
So what about releases for you then? Is there anything you'd change with, if it was up to you, is there anything you'd change with regard to raffles, first come, first serve? Would you rather queue outside a store?
I don't know. I think I'd like to see some sort of fair system that rewards people who regularly shop in certain stores, but also allows new people in as well. So you're not shutting up shops. So let's just say, for instance, let's just pick Note in Manchester. Let's just say a skate shop, Note Manchester, that when they get an allocation of dunks through, there's a certain list or there's a certain allocation that they know we can give them to some shoppers who regularly shop with us, and they're going to love this product, but we'll also make some readily available for other people to come in and bring people into the community. How you get that fine balance, I don't actually know, but I don't know, something like that on the releases is what I'd like to see, I guess.
I mean, one of the things that I really like, just reminded me talking about the Skate Stars, and obviously I love Welcome Skate Star. The guys are amazing. It's, you know, it's in Leeds, so we're super lucky to have that star here. And now and again, they'll just put something out on a shelf. It might be a week after the release day. So you're just shopping as normal. You might just go in to pick up a T-shirt. You might even just be going in to say hi to the guys. And there'll be something a little bit special just sat there on the you know, on the counter with everything else. And that's really nice, because I really do miss that element of walking into a store and not knowing what you're going to see.
No, absolutely. I miss that. And again, we're going back to rose-tinted glasses again. Sometimes you didn't always know what was coming out, like, especially pre-Instagram. You know everything now. You know everything that's coming out weeks in advance, you know, mostly. There's not that many last-minute shock or special kind. And I'm going to go back to the Hannon 420s again. I love that release, because you all entered the raffle, and once everyone had entered the raffle, you didn't realise there was like a special box, and that a certain amount of people could win the special box, you know, and then it was too late. And I kind of think that put that shock element, that, oh my God, this is going to happen. I'd like to see more releases like that, instead of knowing exactly what is going to come for the next 2-3 weeks, way in advance.
Yeah. It kind of happened in a nice way this week, actually. I think it was down to a delay from Adidas in Europe, but Selfridges just dropped the Bathing Ape ZX8000.
Yes.
Obviously,
yes.
It had been out on Adidas now for about 6 weeks, I think it was. Start of November it came out. I could be wrong. And obviously, it was just on Selfridges online. So people who had missed out, or people that were just shopping on Selfridges, maybe looking for Christmas presents, you know, you don't often come across something like that. If it had a huge announcement, a release date, you know, it would be sold out instantly, that show, obviously.
Yeah, and shout out to about the 50, 60 DMs I got to everyone. I'm not joking. I got, because I missed those on the release day, and I got so many people just sending me the links, going, Danny, they're on Selfridges, grab a pair. But I actually, because I have to budget. Like most people, you can't just get everything. And I'm like, well, this week, we're going to get onto what's coming out this week. But there is one pair of trainers that I've been looking forward to since I first saw them in about September. And I'm like, I am definitely putting all my eggs in that basket. So I didn't pick them up. But yeah, that was a pleasant surprise that they just dropped and you didn't see that they were coming, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And probably one regret. Passing up on, to be honest, because it's a great shoe. Is that green one is so nice.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the. I think the black's more. I know it's easier to say the black's more wearable, but I think I would. I think, yeah, the black just looks a little bit better for me. I don't know why. I think what annoys me about the green one is it's not like the original green baby. It's too bright. If it was like, you know, like the original Superstar was like that dull kind of almost army camo green.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this one's just a bit bright for me, I think. But great question. So
is there anything else that you'd change, or is that as far as we're getting for Liam?
Don't know. I'd love
because
to.
Because some of the things that, like, you know, we look back at it, we talk about it a lot, obviously, how easy it was to get stuff when we were younger and how things were different. And obviously the scene was a lot smaller, but you also didn't have the access to as much. So as much as it was a great time, if you did want something that was hard to get, it was really hard to get.
Yeah.
Whereas now, at least, if you want something, if you can afford it, you can pretty much get whatever you want.
Yeah, but do you not think, and again, going back a little bit, is just, the thrill of the chase, you had to put a little bit more effort in, so it almost felt a bit more special. I can't remember which pair of dunks it was. I think it was the home ray guns that I got from, and I was searching them for a while, and I got them on Pick Your Shoes in America, and then I got them shipped across, and it was that, oh, they're going to come across, and then how long it took. I think it took like 2 weeks for them to get here, and it was that complete buzz that when they came through the post was like, oh my God,
And I used to spend hours scrolling that site. It was, I think I could be wrong, but I think those guys went on to open Flight Club.
Right.
I'm sure someone might correct, you know, someone will correct me if I'm wrong here, but that site used to be amazing. I can't even remember, this must be like 16 years ago.
Or three, or four, or five.
The shoes on that site were just unreal. I used to just spend hours going on that and just sorting by different categories and looking at everything that you just didn't see over here.
No, it was good. Pick your shoes. I think they got, was it Bait bought them out?
I couldn't tell you.
I think it was Bait that bought Pick Your Shoes. Someone told me this. In fact, it might be Mark West. Mark, if you're listening, drop us a message and let us know who bought.
Because there was Pick Your Shoes and Vintage Kicks.
Oh, I don't remember Vintage Kicks.
In my head, they were the same thing, but it's a long time and my memory is not the best. Yeah, so yeah. Somebody please correct us and put us on the right path.
We're talking dial-up internet here. We're talking you can't use your phone. You know, like, get off the internet because I need to make a phone call. That's what we're talking about, isn't it, back in the day.
And then waiting weeks for them to arrive. But, yeah. Like you say, it was special when they eventually came.
Yeah, so I guess that, yeah, it's a plus and a negative. It's a positive and negative, should I say. Yes, it's access to anything is so easy now. And like you say, if you've got the money and you just want to spend it on StockX, you can get anything. It's so easy. And I guess that's going back to, I think you mentioned queuing a bit. I do miss kind of the little bit of effort you had to go and queue up to get some trainers and stand and chat and have those conversations in the middle of the night and sometimes have a few beers or whatever it might be. Again, climate, COVID, that's not allowed. The resell on some shoes just doesn't allow it because you can't. If you were to drop a Union Jordan 4, first come, first serve queuing, imagine the carnage.
Yeah, I mean, but from a store point, when I was managing a store, I did used to love having a queue outside. Yeah. Because it's when you, that's how you build relationships with people and have a bit of banter. And, you know, the people would, they excite, you know, people, the built excitement would build until like 8 a.m. open on a Saturday morning when they'd eventually get the shoe.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I've never been one to queue for a shoe. Loved it as a store manager, having a queue, but me, myself, it's not for me. I can only spend so long on the street. I need my belt.
Oh, no, I can hunker down and just go have a beer or, but again, I haven't pulled that many all-nighters because up until recently, I don't think you really needed to, do you know? I think the first massive all-nighter that I went for was the Elephant Air Max 1s 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, there has always been all-nighters, but most of the time you could rock up at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning and get in the queue and usually get your pair. And then again, as the trainer scene has just got so big and to the point where, I mean, let's just look at the size 2020. So there's 2020 pairs of all these trainers, City Series that are coming out. And there was 500 back in 2010. I think the scene's grown more than four times.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. So there's still not enough pairs to go around.
Yeah, and probably even more so not enough pairs. So there was only 500 in 2010, but the market was a lot smaller. And in 2020, the market is way bigger than 2000. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. From
a ratio point of view, I think there's more people per shoe now than there was back then.
Yeah, but I also think there's more shoes, so not necessarily that particular 2020 model, but more releases per month, more styles.
Yeah, I feel that's good. But to one thing I would love to see in the trainer industry or sneaker industry is people actually, and that's not from an industry point of view, but people going and picking what they want, and not just going for the latest hyped shoe. I know we're all guilty. I'm guilty of it as well. But sometimes going in, and we say it, go into your stores and go have a look at product and pick it up and go, oh, actually, that one sat, COVID, that one sat on a shelf and actually that would look really good on me or whoever it is that you're buying it for. And I think people should do more of that. And I bet what you'll find is going into the future, 3, 4, 5 years down the time, those shoes that sat are going to be the ones that are hard to get because everybody's got the Chunky Dunkies. Everybody's got the Jordan 4 Unions. Everybody's got the Cordobas. And they keep them nice and they sit in a box and they're always there. That you could, if you wanted to find someone who's got one, you'll be able to do that. But in 5 years' time, try and find that GR, that really good Air Max 90 GR that went on sale. You won't find it. You won't find it.
So call it now then, Danny. What shoe do you think will be a grail in 5 years' time? Not a grail. But what do you think everyone will be after in 5 years?
What was easier?
It was fairly easy this year or last. You walk into a store and pick up.
Or last year.
Because I had this conversation the other day as it happened, and I'm putting it out there now, and I don't like this shoe. I think this shoe is it's just not for me at all. But the Air Max 95 that's coming out this week, but not the OG, the like Indestruct, I think it is. Have you seen it?
No, I've not. Oh, I have seen it. Yeah, it looks like an Air Max 95 has. Has made love with RoboCop.
Yeah, exactly. I'm putting it out there right now. 5 years' time, everyone's going to want that shoe, right. And I'm not going to be buying it. I'm not backing my own bet. I should be investing in like 20 pairs.
But yeah.
I think it's that kind of shoe that will sit, but there's never been anything like it, and there probably won't be anything like it again.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I would. From this year. I mean, an easy one for me to, or easy ones for me to pick out are like the Spezial stuff that doesn't sell out straight away. So the silhouettes that go out on sale and you can pick them up for 40, 50 quid, people just do and they don't keep them special. And then in 5 years' time, everyone's going to have the Manchester 89s that are out this week, in 5 years' time, there's going to be loads of pairs of those still mint. But try and find a pair of the Alderleys that came out, that went on sale. You won't find them.
Yeah.
I think it'll be things like that in that scene.
And it's usually those things as well that people buy to wear at the time. Because obviously, more people wear them, then more will obviously leave the market, if you like. I don't really like calling it a market, but that's what it is. Then there's less pairs in rotation, in circulation. So,
yeah, so when people want them, go, oh, yeah, I had a pair of those, but I beat them to death. So, great question, Liam. I don't know how long we've rambled on about that, to be honest, but it's...
Too long. But it was, it's a loaded question, you could argue, for hours. So props to Liam for that one.
Yeah. And if you've got any thoughts on that, just like drop us a message and just think... Just we'll always answer on like Instagram, and I suppose I should try. I might put a post out with every podcast episode. I forget what episode we're on now. Episode 4, I think. And then you can drop your thoughts. Go onto Instagram at the Sneaker Annex and let us know, like in the comments, like what you think of anything that we raise on any of the topics that we talk about or any of the shoes that are coming out. Talking of which, Dan, have we had a look at what is dropping this week?
We have. We've touched on a couple already, obviously. So the first one, obviously, a chance again to say thanks for Gary for coming on the last podcast. But the Adidas Manchester out this week. A lot of excitement.
So if you're listening to this on Wednesday morning as this podcast drops, then you'll be either going out to try and get your pairs or you'll be... I don't know how all the stores are releasing them, to be honest, but... you'll be picking up your raffle wins or L's in your emails. Definitely be getting that end L email because I don't think anyone wins on end. But yeah, good luck to everybody who's entered those. And that was one of the reasons why we did the special with Gary as well, because it was almost too late for the release, because it coincided with our Wednesday morning release of the podcast. So, yeah.
We've got the Nike Sky Vapor Waffle this week. I know we've already touched on that. You're not a fan, are you?
Get in the bin. Yeah. So I'm going to actually change my mind ever so slightly on these.
Here we go.
If you're a female and you are a size 4 or something like that, I kind of think they look kind of funky. If you're a dude and you're 6'10" and you've got size 13 feet, nah, they just look ridiculous. But
I do like the colorways though.
Yeah, there's like a burgundy colorway.
Yeah.
And then one like, I'm going to call it like a Jamaican flag colorway, like green.
Yeah. Good colorways. And have you seen the New Balance collab with Levi's on the 327? That's this week as well. Again, one that I think is going to kind of go under the radar. But I think you'll see it a lot on foot.
Going back to that, what the question you said, what will come out this year that people just in years to come go back, oh, we should have picked those. They could be something like that. Will they sell out? I'm not too sure if they'll sell out. I think they'll be relatively easy to get if you want to get them. But yeah. I think like split colorways, aren't they? So you get like one shoe in a, is it an inside and an outside?
Yeah, inside, outside, yeah.
And is there three different pairs?
Oh, you're testing me down. There's definitely multiple colorways.
Yeah.
I don't want to put a number on it.
I've got to be honest, the silhouette just isn't for me. I loved the, and I forget the, was it a 997? The collab earlier on in the year, the orange New Balance Levi's. I can't remember the exact model number. Dan's looking at me, because we record this on Zoom so we can actually see each other as well. And Dan's kind of doing that shrugging his shoulders. You know, you've seen the emoji when people just holding their hands up.
I've told you, my memory is awful and I'm going to get pulled up on it so many times. But my memory is terrible, Danny.
But yeah, a good shoe. Again, the silhouette's just not for me. I don't think I could wear it. But
and then to finish the week, a huge, huge week for Nike. The Jordan 1 Mocha, been waiting ages for this. Absolutely amazing Jordan 1. Jordan's killed it this year, and such a good way to finish the year for Air Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not a Jordan, and it's not that I'm not a Jordan fan. I do like. And I know I pull your leg about the Union Jordan 4s being like rip-offs from Lanzarote or whatever. But they
shoe
are
shoe of the year.
Shoe of the year, they won't be. Shout out Offspring, actually. They've started the shoe of the year thing off. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. They're doing a little thing in the stories at the minute. But, yeah. Jordans, I love Jordans. I love seeing them on other people. Like we've said before, I just love trainers. I'm not specifically into one particular thing, but I just don't wear them much myself. I probably get the Mockers, actually, because I think they're a great colorway and they're easy to style with denim or joggers or cargos or whatever, but I probably won't go for them myself, to be honest, because I think I'll be going for what you're going to say next.
You definitely will be going for these, the Sean Cliver SB Dunklo. For the holidays, awesome colorway.
Cancel Christmas if I don't get a pair. Right now, 100%. I don't even want to see Christmas Day if I don't have a pair of those on my feet, getting absolutely smashed up on Christmas Day and spilling beer all over them.
I can already feel the L coming on these, Danny. I'll be honest. I think everybody and their mates and their dog is going to be going for this shoe.
I think that might be the case as well. I think what I love about it is it's a bit gimmicky, but it's not too gimmicky. Do you know, like the Night of Mischiefs or something like that, which you can only wear leading up to Halloween or on Halloween. These you could kind of get away with wearing them at any point.
Even though they've got the snowflake on the toe box?
I don't think it's too obvious. So if you wore them in, I don't know if you wore them in summer, because the colorway is very summery. You know, the light blue and the white. I don't think anyone go, why have you got Christmas shoes on? I don't know. No one's going to say that to you. Whereas if you wore some that look like a pumpkin, that said trick or treat on the back, they'd be like, eh, what's going on there, mate?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's an amazing shoe. So good luck to everybody going for them, because I think we're all going to need it.
Yes. Lots and lots of luck.
And then to finish the week, well, not to finish the week, because I think it comes out on Thursday. So if you're listening to this, it's out tomorrow. But to finish the releases, because it is such a big one. People have waited for it for such a long time. We touched on it earlier. Finally, the Air Max 95 OG Neon is back.
And I'm crying about it. Because are they supposed to be 110s?
Well, they've not been 110 for a long, long time.
They should do it. Come on. If you're going to celebrate, if you're going to bring it back, 110. Nah, I'm joking. What a shoe.
Yeah. So they'll be £150 or £149.
Yeah.
But for anyone into Air Max, it's an essential, isn't it?
It's, I'm going to actually contradict myself, because I'm going to say they're an absolute must, but I don't think, so close to Christmas with everything else that's coming out, I don't think I'm actually going to get a pair, just because price point and et cetera, you can't have everything. If it was any other month in the year, 100% I'm getting a pair. But like I say, they're just, we're of a certain age. I don't mind saying, I'm 38. I remember 1995 and I'm 13. Am I? 82, 95. Just doing a bit of quick mental math there. And I remember seeing these and my mind just going, what is that? What is that? In fact, I wish I could remember the kid at school. So there was a lad at school and he was a couple of years older. So I will have been in like year 8, I think, or I will have been in year 8. And there was a lad, he was always a few years older than me. And first off, we're going back a little, like Air Max memories here. And he had some Air Max 93s, you know, the white ones with the yellow air bubble and the blue swoosh.
Yeah.
And they were like some of the first Air Max I remember. See, certainly as a memory. And I remember he just used to have them on. I was like, they are, what are they, kind of thing. And he had the 95 Neons. Oh, geez. And it was just a bit like, man, I need a pair of those.
Yeah, my kind of 95 origin story is the same as well. It was back in school days, and my best mate at the time, who in primary school always had good trainers, came in one day with them. And I remember we were just all around him, just amazed that they had air all the way around the shoe.
Yeah.
And at the time, it just seemed mad.
Yeah.
I think it was probably, it would have been a good 6, 7, 8 years after that until I finally had a pair.
Yeah, I was just about to say, when did you get your first pair? So I remember my first pair of 95s. Hang on a second, I just need to open up another beer. There you go. My first pair of 95s were... They were blue. They were an all blue pair. And I got them from Top Foot Locker. Can you remember we used to call it Top Foot Locker in Leeds?
Top in the St. John's Centre?
Yeah. So the Top Foot Locker was at St. John's Centre. And yeah, they were blue and they had like a white air bubble, and they were women's release only. So they only went up to a size 8. So a lot of my friends couldn't have them because they had bigger feet than me. So I was like, oh, I'm going to get those ones instead then. When everyone else would get, because there was a time when they were all the grey colour with all the different air bubbles, weren't there? So there was neon and there was the reds and yellows and blues. And so I just went for something a little bit different, I guess. Not just going with the same as everybody else. But yeah, man, I remember them.
I think, like I say, I think in the UK, the 95 plays such a big part in anyone that's into Nike. Everyone's got a 95 story.
Yeah.
Love them or hate them, everyone's got a 95 story.
And one of my favourite 95 stories, and I can't remember who I was talking to about this recently. And it was, I think it was someone down in London, actually. And can you remember the 95 rush when the air bubble squeaked and then all of a sudden you could take back any pair of 95s, the Foot Locker? Can you remember that?
No.
Oh, mate. Someone try and remind me exactly of the year. It must have been about 2000, could have been 2001. And there was a little thing that if your air bubble squeaked, now they couldn't be popped. My memory is they couldn't be popped, but if your trainer squeaked, you could take them back. Don't matter how long you've had them. And there was queuing round. People were just like, just taking the 95s back and getting fresh pairs because these squeak. Oh, right, we need to get you a new one. I'd love to be able to remember the exact details. From 1999 till about 2003, I have a very, very hazy memory. That was when we started, like, you know, going out and doing all.
Seen too many beers.
Yeah. Well, when you were going to like heaven and hell, and it was £5 in, all you could drink. Those kind of nights probably killed a few brain cells, to be honest. But yeah, 95, just a super special shoe, and I think all of England or the UK got it, to be honest. I know they were big in London.
Everyone, like I say, has got a 95 story. I know different parts of the UK will claim the 110 as their shoe. You know, in the north, a lot of people say it started in Liverpool or Manchester, calling it the 110. London will claim London started the 110. Mm-hmm. I think that's the good thing about that shoe is, for like sneaker culture, it's just had such a big impact on so many people.
Yeah. And I think even let's be honest, and we've said it before, we're geeks, we're training enthusiasts, or how you want to call it. You can ask your regular person about an Air Max 95 and they know what that shoe is.
And that's why it should be available for everybody to buy.
Oh my God, let's just wrap it up there. Good night, Vienna.
I'm out.
Peace. So again, if you're going for those this week, good luck. Let's just hope that there's a big allocation, that everybody can grab them. Let's hope that they're still there in January when payday comes around again after Christmas and we can still pick them up. I've been kind of lucky. I got the OG ones from 2017. I got the Silver Bullets. I think they were 2017, 2018. The 90s from the other week. So it'd be nice to just have the collection just to line them all up. From the latest releases, but I don't know, we'll see. I'll probably have a weak moment and buy a pair. But
you might have to console yourself if you don't get the Sean Cliver dunk.
True. They could be my backup. So I think that's it for this week. Have we got anything else to add in? I can't think of anything else other than next week we have got a banging guest once again. I'm unsure whether to tease it on Instagram and get you to send some questions in for this guy. I'll speak to Dan after this podcast and we'll decide if we're going to do it or not. But I think that's it. Once again, thanks to everyone who does tune in. It's knocked me sideways that we're at nearly 2,000 down, 2,000 streams. It's just beyond dreams. You know, we knew some people would listen. That many people has just been ridiculous. So thanks to everyone who does tune in and listen. Anything else to say, Dan?
That's it from me.
Saying bye.
Bye.
Oh my God, twice in 2 days. Hello.